Hi, I'm Platt on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. One of the more talked about books, even before it was out, is the book edited by Todd McLean, Global Chorus, 365 Voices on the Future of the Planet. It's a collection born from a letter campaign that Mr. McLean began seeking answers. What he wanted to know was whether humanity could overcome the current global environmental and social crises. How can humanity survive? The people that he sought answers from are some of the 365 thinkers, celebrities, and other notable names, from David Suzuki to Robert Bateman, Stephen Hawking to Jamie Oliver, Maya Angelou to Bill McKibben, and it seems everyone in between. Each contributes a page or so of their thoughts to Todd McLean's query, and what we have in this book, something that we could read every day, is a meditation, a reflection, something worth pondering about where we're headed. Proceeds of this book will be donated to the Jane Goodall Institute, the David Suzuki Foundation, and the Canadian Red Cross. Todd E. McLean joins me now to talk about this book. I'll get him to tell us about some of the wisdom therein. As well, we'll find out just how long it took, why he did it, and how. Todd McLean is a freelance journalist and musician and a columnist in Prince Edward Island's The Guardian newspaper. I spoke to him this past weekend while he was in Vancouver. The website for more is at globalchorus.ca. The book is published by Rocky Mountain Books. Please welcome to the Platt on the Line program, Todd McLean. Mr. McLean, good morning.
Good morning, Joseph.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So by the time this gets on the website during the week, you'll be in the United States. Is that correct?
Yes, indeed.
And I was just looking at the list of cities that you'll be at, and it's quite a long list.
It is, yes. I should tell you, actually, right off the bat, that the tour has had to morph a little bit because of the fact that we just got the news over the past, I guess maybe 4 or 5 days ago, that the first run of 5,000 copies that the publisher has done has sold out. The warehouse is now completely empty.
Really?
Of stock for Global Chorus, and so now we're on the other side of the country. I'm from Prince Edward Island, and we basically need to do a tour down to the U.S. basically with no books. So, we can't do traditional book signing events. It's going to be more sort of meet and greet events with contributors down in the States. And, we're currently kind of in the midst of just sort of changing things around.
Yeah.
But it'll be a fun leisure trip anyway. We'll make the most of it and promote the book as best we can.
Yeah, and so the reception thus far across Canada has been quite good, hasn't it?
It has been just absolutely amazing. 3 weeks before the book came out, it was selling near the top of Amazon.ca's environmental titles. It did hold the number one best-selling environmental book on Amazon for a week. And, of course, they update it hourly, so its position is constantly fluctuating there. But that was absolutely exciting. I mean, I was just over the moon about that when that news first came out. And then it did continue to sell well in its pre-order stage. And it really was just, it was 2 weeks that the book was out. And then now the initial print run is sold out. And so the publisher's already going for a second printing. And that should be done by the beginning of December, I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I guess we'd all... The publisher, my literary agent, and me, and everyone who's sort of involved with the book, we thought it would have potential to sell well, but it's beyond what we even thought possible. It's really unprecedented.
So, what does that say to you then? I mean, there are obviously some bold-faced names that have contributed to the book, and maybe that attracts a book buyer, say, but I think it's more than that. I think that there's something about the message of the book. I think people want to hear hope, perhaps, and it just seems like the right time, doesn't it?
It does. What it says to me primarily is that people have been waiting for a book like this. I talked to a man yesterday at the book signing in Vancouver, at the Chapters Broadway Granville. That's where we had our book signing yesterday. And he said he's been waiting for a book like this for 30 years since he started moved and interested in environmental issues. And I think it's the time is right. This is what so many contributors to the book have told me. what so many people who are picking up the book are saying to me, this is the exact time for a book like this, and finally it has happened. I've just been continually astounded that the book has rolled into fruition the way it has. I mean, the idea itself, it was a real pipe dream idea. When I first thought of it, I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. I thought it was a perfect idea for a publishing house to do, and not, you know, some guy working away on his computer and PEI with very little connections. People were very encouraging from the get-go, my colleagues and friends, and they just said, and my wife, I have to give so much credit to my wife, because she was really encouraging from the beginning with this. And everyone just said, why don't you try on your own to do this? And an initial response from David Suzuki in May of 2011 with his page of words for Global Chorus, that's what started the snowball, and it's been rolling powerfully ever since.
Because we could spend the whole 15-20 minutes listing all the people in the book. There's a great list of 365 contributors. Amongst them, is there a common theme? Is there some sort of thread in terms of what they're saying, in terms of how they view where humanity's going?
Yes, the common thread is, it's an honest look at where we're at with humanity. That's really what I wanted to bring about with Global Chorus. And so it's a treasure trove of insight, wisdom, and guidance that is poured in from all seven continents. And it's ominous in its warnings. It really is. But there's a united thread of hope that runs through it that I truly feel could help even the most faithless global citizen to believe that we have the capacity to bring about lasting positive change in our world. And it's a transformative lead. I guess how things are so clearly laid out on the table by many of the contributors in terms of what we are facing in the environmental and social crises, the tasks at hand are mammoth. And I think it's clear for so many of us. Yet it's also clear that if we actually put ourselves to the task in a broad, all-encompassing way across the globe, we will be able to do it. It's laid out so clearly by so many of the contributors in the chorus. And for me, I can say that it personally, it's been a very transformative process putting this book together, because I started out as a man filled with anxiety on the trajectory of humanity on Earth. I felt the need to reach out to others to put together a book like this that could be guiding and inspirational for humanity, but also at the same time, I really just personally needed some source of hope. It's been very transforming for me, and I can't wait for others to be transformed by the Daily Reader.
Well, what do the contributors say to you as, say, the most urgent crisis facing the planet, facing humanity?
Well, it seems like the resounding most urgent crisis is climate change. That's what most contributors have been saying. Facts are clear. And we just had another IPCC report that came out a few weeks ago, and we all know how grave the situation is, and it just continually we get new statistics, new reports all the time, and it's so important to receive this on a regular basis. We need this technical analysis to keep that conversation moving forward on climate change, and of course about all environmental issues. But what is most important in our time, I feel, is to bring as many people into the conversation as possible, to make it as broadly appealing of a topic as possible, and just make it a very broad and welcoming conversation. And that's what is at hand with Global Chorus. global thinkers, and I really think that it's going to bring in a lot of readers that are going to find themselves newly dedicated to the environmental crisis at hand.
So there are a lot of Canadians in this book. I mean, there are people from around the world, of course, but there's a lot of Canadians, and you're a Canadian, you're from Prince Edward Island. Do you think that being Canadian makes us perhaps more keenly aware of the challenges of humanity, of the planet, say?
Well, I am not too sure about that. I think I would say that in some ways it can make us more keenly aware, but in others I feel that perhaps we can almost live under a carpet sometimes and just go along with our own daily lives and perhaps not really acknowledge the challenges at hand and the realities that are currently taking place in the globe. I will say that I'm from Prince Edward Island, and I do think that that living on an island has played into this in some way. David Suzuki says that those who live on islands know that there are limits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that works on many different levels. Of course, you can't just keep developing constantly. You only have a certain plot of land that you really have to take care of. You can't be throwing your waste around in a careless way. You really have to take care of your surroundings on that plot of land. And I think that really has helped me to have a vision for respect for surroundings and just caretaking of the earth. And it's an amazing artistic community as well on Prince Edward Island that have been very supportive with me with this project, and it's also a great community of environmentally minded people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what has helped spawn this project into action. As far as our environmental outlook in Canada, I mean, things are very bleak, and I just hope that in the coming years we can help turn things around. I don't think I need to go on here about how decimated things have been, environmentally speaking, with programs being cut and so much of what the current government has done to sort of make us take steps backward, environmentally speaking. And I don't really want to speak too politically right now, but I do hope, I have hope for the coming years that we can get on a much better path.
And
I hope the Global Chorus can help in that regard, that's for sure.
And do you find that the hope lies with the young people in this country? Do you find that they're like you, hip to the message that there can be hope for our planet, that they're willing to do stuff to save humanity, almost?
Yes, I do feel that with the new generation. I think that it depends on the young person that you're talking to or the group of young people that you're talking to. It's difficult in Canada when we have so much wrapped into the oil industry, and I think that it can be difficult when people base their income on oil and gas, and of course, there's a number, I'm from the East Coast, and so of course there's a number of people who move to Alberta to find the good jobs, and it gets complicated that way. But what I've been emphasizing to people with Global Chorus is that this is an honest look at our future, and we know what the reality is right now. I mean, in terms of where we do bring in our income, I'm proposing with this is just that we take a very good look at our future and the paths that we can take in order to achieve sustainability, and it doesn't have to be a drastic change. It has to be, a gentle, gradual change toward where we need to go. And I am inspired, definitely, by by the incredible group of very committed, environmentally minded young people in this country. And I'm seeing them all over the place. When we've gone, you know, from PEI to DC on this tour, and I'm just fueled to the utmost by their passion and dedication. And it's this kind of energy that really will change the world. This exists all over the planet in the youth. And this, I do feel that there's a transformative energy taking place, and I hope it continues as we look toward the future.
In terms of putting this book together and getting the contributors that you did, I mean, that it must have been a maddening experience. It must have been a lot of work, but fun and rewarding at the same time. In terms of who you talked to and who you sought comment from, what was the most difficult, say, in terms of logistically and the sort of putting that together? Was that the fellow from Ecuador and the Amazon?
Yes, that was one of the more difficult ones, that's for sure. Moi and Omenga is his name. Mm-hmm. And that did take a lot of emails to bring in his response. He's the leader of the Horaoni people in the Ecuadorian Amazon. And he's also been awarded with a National Geographic Award. And he's very well-renowned as an environmental leader in South America. And that took a number of steps to get his emailed response for Global Chorus. And when I did receive it, I was just completely ecstatic. It was a stormy day, I remember, in PEI in January, and this email came in from Ecuador with these powerful words from Moi and Omenga, and I was just completely bowled over. It was probably one of the more difficult ones. But, it was such a challenge putting this together every step of the way, but I would do it all again in a heartbeat. It was so exhilarating. I mean, you can imagine what it would be like sending an email, for example, to Archbishop Desmond Tutu's assistant, and after a couple of follow-ups, getting an email back from her saying, "Mr. McLean, we have scheduled in an interview with Archbishop Desmond Tutu for this time," and... I was just so unbelievably excited to be able to speak to a man of his caliber and just inspiration with a 17-minute phone interview, you know, me sitting in our kitchen in Pennett, PEI, in our old farmhouse, and having his words pour through the phone line and then distilling his piece into his page of words for Global Chorus. You know, of course, I had it edited down for his 350-word response, and his assistant gave the stamp of approval. But it was, every step of the way, I was just completely exhilarated to be able to reach out to some of the most dedicated, inspirational global thinkers, and to be able to receive their page of words on their hope for humanity, for the future. It was as if I could just dive in right away to exactly what I wanted to talk to these people about, and then to receive their impacting words. It was just unbelievable. I have to tell you this, that mm-hmm. there were a few times where I got responses from people, and it was such a victory that I just had to run out into the yard and do a victory lap in our backyard. Amazing.
And it also shows that like you, a lot of us can do a lot from home with simply a computer in our jammies sometimes, right?
I did most of this work in my pajamas, I will admit it, with our kitties walking around and purring and a cup of tea at my side, sitting on the couch. It's amazing what you can do in this day and age with just on your own home computer. I did everything on my MacBook, and mostly with Google searches to find people's email addresses. And so on this tour, when we go down to California, I want to do two things. I want to bring a bouquet of flowers and a book to the offices of both Google and Apple. Mm-hmm. Because without them, you can imagine, 10 or 15... Even 10 years ago, but 15, 20 years ago, a project of this kind of magnitude would not have been possible.
Right.
Can you imagine the amount of postage and faxing that you would have to do? But now we are connected. And I really hope that people will see that angle with Global Chorus and be inspired by that, because it's just an infinite amount of projects along these lines that can be done in this day and age to help unite us together and guide us, you know, with insight and inspiration toward the future.
Now, his name appears in the acknowledgement, so I'm wondering, are you kind of glad he didn't get a contribution from Gian Gomeshi?
I had to thank Gian and Q, the staff at Q, as it says in the acknowledgement, for their support and help with promoting the book, because it was last November that they came to PEI, and
right.
I had the pleasure of doing an interview on Q, and that was a really great promo boost for the book at that stage, and I will admit that initially, you know, in 2011, I did up an initial list of 365 people who I thought could be part of the book. And on that rough sketch of a list, I put down Gian Gomeshi because I thought, I thought that he would have some good insights with the amount of people that he talks to, or
sure.
that he talked to, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I will say that, considering everything that's going on in his life at this point, it's probably best that he's not part of this chorus. But you know what? I do stand behind the acknowledgments there to the fact that I thank them, because they really did give me some great support and promotion at the time.
And then there were people across the country. I mean, there were people in this town that helped you with the book. And then, of course, home in Prince Edward Island. I mean, reading what I've read about the book online, they seemed to really champion this from the get-go, didn't they?
They did. Yes. I can't speak enough for the people on PEI. As I said before, it's such a really tightly knit and supportive artistic community there, and so we had five different like book signing launch events before I left, and we're even going to have three more events when I return from book signings, because people are just totally embracing it in a huge way, and I think it shows not only the fact that that it is a supportive, embracing community there, but just the fact that PEI citizens have been waiting for a book like this as well, and a lot of people are really excited about the project. It's really difficult to keep up with our Facebook page, for example. It's just constantly more and more support and encouragement and congratulations as we go across the country, and I absolutely love my homeland and PEI people. It's just, I can't speak enough for them. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, it's been great talking to you today, Todd. It's a great book. It's a book that I'll keep close by throughout the year and read every day, hopefully. Good luck with it, and safe travels.
Thank you so much, Joseph.
The website for more, globalchorus.ca. The book is called Global Chorus, 365 Voices on the Future of the Planet. It's from Rocky Mountain Books. Its editor, Todd McLean, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.